This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got plenty of sunshine this morning. A high today of 72 in the 60s at the lakefront. Right now it's 62 degrees at O'Hare and 56 at the lake.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, Google's parent company Alphabet and Facebook are heading for antitrust investigations, and that has eaten away all of Wall Street's gains. The Dow is now down 51 points, the NASDAQ 106, the S&P 13. Those are losses of 0.2 to almost 1.5%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is hanging on to positive territory now. It's up 0.1%, Coeur Mining leading the gains. Sources tell Bloomberg the Justice Department has decided to take on Alphabet, the Federal Trade Commission aiming at Google. Each agency will look into whether the business's practices hurt competition. Just word of that Division of Labor for investigations sent Facebook shares falling 7.5% and Alphabet some 6.2%. It's pulling about $137 billion from the market values of the big tech stocks, the so-called FANG stocks. Investors, too, are looking over the impact of word of a Chinese investigation of FedEx that puts the company smack into the middle of the trade war with China. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
And on the Noon Business Hour today, we're going to be talking about Springfield's most momentous legislative session in decades and what it means to you and your money.
And it's Stock Picker Monday on the show, and Investing Pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It was an historic weekend in Springfield, lawmakers approving several large, wide-ranging bills that include legalized marijuana, sports gambling, significant tax and fee hikes, plus promises of infrastructure repairs. We're joined by Greg Hines, columnist at Crain Chicago Business. Greg, are these going to be able to make it through?
Oh, these are all the stuff is done. I mean, it's both houses have signed on it, and since the governor said he was for it, he's going to sign it. So yeah, these are you can count on it. Grab your wallet.
All right. So what comes first here then? What do we do next?
Well, in terms of what happens next, I mean. Other than the taxes go into effect, for instance, the gasoline tax is going to be hiked, but it's going to double 19 cents a gallon. You'll start to see these capital projects, I think, roll out in a hurry all over the state. $45 billion is going to fund a lot of work over a number of years. There's a lot of high-profile things that are included in there, like road work around the Obama Presidential Center on the south side, for instance, work on Interstate 80, the Public Transportation Agency, CTN, Metro have a long list of stuff. I think that's the stuff that will probably be most visible to folks in the short run.
From a political standpoint, did you expect that they would make this count?
Well, what's remarkable about this session, Chris, is the amount of stuff to test in a variety of ways. It was budget stuff. It was capital stuff. It was hot button social questions like abortion regulations and legalizing the sale of marijuana for recreational use. A balanced budget that was supported by Democrats and Republicans. Ditto the Capitol bill. It was bipartisan. I haven't seen this much activity in one session by the General Assembly in forever. It's been decades. It is just, you know, the new governor clearly rolled the dice and decided he wanted to go big, and it paid off. clearly there's going to be some resentment about the tax hikes that's going to come from the political right. We'll see how much ammunition that gathers and whether it blows up on him. But for right now, Pritzker's feeling pretty good.
Well, and you just wonder if it's going to lead to any more of this, what's being sort of called an exodus from Illinois. Obviously, we're losing population, but it seems like even if it does, that's a little tougher to feel in the everyday. So even if that happens, it may not really impact the governor or the people who voted for this stuff.
Well, you know, it's kind of a good question. The Democrats would say that, hey, and even a lot of Republicans would say, hey, you have to invest in your infrastructure, particularly in the things that attract job producers and make it easy to get to work. And if you don't, you pay a price there. There is probably some truth to that. Now, whether we're overdoing it or not, I don't know. All this is going to play out in the debate that is yet to come. The one when I said before that everything has been enacted and the governor can sign it now, the one piece is yet to come is the referendum on the biggest piece of this, which is moving to a graduated income tax. The legislature authorized that vote. It'll be on the ballot as a referendum in November of next year, and there's going to be quite a debate, I guarantee you, about whether we're going too far on that or not.
Now, if that doesn't pass, does that blow up the budget and some of these spending plans?
It creates lots of problems because the governor has said that that he's going to pay some of the pension bills out of that. He's going to do some other things. It would cause him real problems. I would not underestimate him at this point. The question of taxing wealthy people polls pretty well. If indeed his plan really only hits people making more than $250,000 a year and 97% of the rest of the population stays where they are, gets a small cut, that's pretty good ammunition for him to use.
Thanks so much, Greg. Always appreciate your insight and enjoyed your reporting online as well. Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Coming up, we put a spotlight on the major gambling bill that was passed in Springfield.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Governor Pritzker is set to sign a bill allowing a huge expansion of gambling in Illinois. To give us some insight, we welcome back to the show Bob Reed, business writer and contributor at Chicago Magazine. Bob, as I've been looking over this, we've been hearing about gambling expansion for several years. This kind of sounds like pretty much everyone got what they wanted, or at least in general. Is that your read on this?
That definitely is the read. This was the longest of shots at the beginning of session, and it came together toward the end. And it only happened because there was some outright horse trading between the existing gaming houses like casinos and the racetracks and those that are wanting to get into the sports betting business. And sports betting was really the trigger for this. You're going to see sports betting come to Illinois in a lot of different ways. And you're also going to see a massive expansion of casino gambling, and Chicago will be getting a casino.
And lots of other areas, just a huge expansion. More money for the state. I know the Senate president was saying they're sick of seeing money going to Indiana and Wisconsin, and they want some of that money here in Illinois.
Well, the governor, when he ran for office, said that he was tired of seeing the money go to neighboring states. Mayor Lightfoot has said the same thing. In Chicago, that raises an interesting question. Do you put a casino up near the border of Indiana, or do you put it in downtown Chicago and try to get a lot more tourism money? Those are going to be the big issues that will need to shake out when they start really getting serious about location. But sports betting is really what started all this and got this going, and it's a really interesting development because you are going to see now sports betting at venues like Soldier Field and Wrigley and Sox Park, any place that has a seating capacity of 17,000 or more. No betting on college sports, but you're going to see a lot more sports betting and online betting coming in the coming years.
What's for consumers here?
You're talking about an estimated $155 billion sports betting market in the United States, and Illinois wants a part of that. You're going to see an opportunity, the way this bill is structured, the casinos are able to get into sports betting initially and set up shop and, in essence, try to get a leg up on the established sports betting franchises like DraftKings and FanDuel. It'll take 18 months from the issuance of the first license before those organizations can go online and put their apps up and have legalized gambling in Illinois. But once that starts to roll, people who want to participate in sports betting are going to have a lot of options. They can go to a casino. They can do it over the phone. That's going to be a lot of money generating, and the state's going to see it in terms of franchise fees and in licensing fees that are going to come its way.
And we're talking about airports, too.
You're talking about airports, and Illinois is really going to start looking more and more like Vegas, because you're not only having expansion in places like Midway and O'Hare, you're talking about, 4,000 additional gaming spots in terms of, positions and such. That's an awful lot of gaming that's going on. You know, the video poker, video gaming market has not been as robust as originally anticipated. The revenues have not been as strong. And that could very well happen here. You know, there's a lot of talk that the casinos are already oversaturated, particularly in northern Illinois, and casino revenues have been down for the last 6 years. More capacity and more casinos may not be the answer.
And is that a risk for those communities that have the casinos? Because a lot of them got the casino banking on getting a certain amount of money. Well, the more casinos you have, obviously people are going to have other options.
Yeah, and, the question is, are you growing the pie or are you just going after a bigger slice of the existing pie? Now, I'm sure those on the borders would, hate to see that money going into other states, so they're going to build something. Chicago is in the same position. But, there's only so much gambling you can do out there, and I don't know if you're really going to be able to expand it. Sports betting, however, is the great unknown. It may very well be the place where you see expansion because a lot of millennials and younger people are gravitating toward it, are using their phone, they like the apps. It's a whole different experience than going to a casino and playing the machines.
Thanks so much for the analysis, Bob Reed, business writer and contributor at Chicago Magazine. Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WBBM News Time 1225. Business news is sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Let's check in with Joan Doniger.
Chris, the big tech giants are being hit by one of their worst fears, a government antitrust investigation. Sources tell Bloomberg the Justice Department and Federal Trade Commission have split up cases. Justice will look at Google's parent Alphabet, and the FTC will take on Facebook. So that's kind of taken on Wall Street. But right now, after a Federal Reserve official said that their rate cut may be warranted soon, we have seen losses turn to gains. The Dow now up 103 points, the NASDAQ down 65, the S&P adding 3. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up about 0.25%. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Joan. Grain markets have been mixed for most of the morning. Wheat's the strong one with weather conditions supporting the market, along with a decent export inspections report. Corn's been lower, and the idea is that the average planting progress could be about 71% complete on this afternoon's report, and beans about 42% complete as a nation. Corn futures down a half to 1 cent, beans 2 to 2.5 higher, and the wheat market up 18 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are mixed this afternoon as fears of additional regulation in the tech sector grows.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll have a couple of suggestions from an investment pro.
Governor Pritzker set to sign bills that will make it more expensive for drivers and smokers in Illinois.
President Trump and First Lady Melania are in London for what they call a social and business visit.
On Wall Street, the Dow down 9 now. The NASDAQ is down 105. The S&P down 8. And oil today is up right about 0.5%.
WBBM News Time, 1231.
The noon business hour is presented by Old Second Bank. We're going to have some sunshine in Chicagoland this afternoon as we head to a high of 70 degrees. Right now it's 60 at O'Hare and 62 at Midway and along Chicago's lakefront.
Well, the markets are mixed now. Let's talk about what we're taking a look at here with Mike Larson, who's senior analyst at WeissRatings.com in Jupiter, Florida. Welcome back to the noon business hour, Mike. How would you describe what we're seeing here today?
One heck of an interesting day, that's for sure. Just in the recent few minutes, we've had some cross currents here. The first Fed policymaker has kind of broken ranks. That's Bullard saying that rate cuts may be warranted soon. The interest rate markets have certainly been pricing something like that in. If you look at what's been going on with the interest rate spreads, you've seen a lot of almost panic in the bond market about how we need cuts and we need them pretty soon. So this is the first time that idea has been validated, although albeit by a dove on the Fed itself. So interesting to watch that happen here. At the same time, kind of trying to see what's coming out of Apple in terms of expectations at their developers conference. And you also have on top of that in the tech sector some concerns about government antitrust or other privacy related actions at companies like Google and Facebook. You know, if you remember last year, it was really those FANG stocks that with that acronym that have been had been extremely popular, all of the Facebook, Amazon, and Google, and so on. But now we've seen those names get hit very hard here on worries that big tech might sort of become in the government's crosshairs, just like big oil has been years and years ago. So, again, a lot of moving parts in this market. And just another reason why I think as an investor, just like I've been saying for the last year, you want to be a little more defensive, a little more cautious, and focus on dividend-type paying stocks, which give you a little bit of protection in times of volatility.
Which moving part is worse, in your opinion?
Sure. I think that this news on the sort of big tech front is very important because, again, these companies, if you looked at last year's market and really the end of 2017 as well, the market was very concentrated in a few names here. You know, you had Facebook, Apple, Google, and so on. That was where all the money was flowing into. And the rest of the market, when you looked at small caps, you looked at other non-tech sectors, they were really lagging behind. So if these leading stocks, these widely owned, widely discussed companies fall sharply, which is what's happening today, that's a big change in trend and something that certainly I think is going to catch investors' attention as we move forward.
Earlier you mentioned dividends, you know, maybe having some of your money in stocks with decent dividends. Any ideas on some stocks that people should at least give a look to?
Oh, absolutely. In the last 12 to 15 months, I've really been preaching that you want to own safe money type names. By that, I mean higher rated, higher yielding, recession resistant type companies. If you look at things like utilities, for example, REITs, even though the overall averages have been struggling and some more offensive sectors like financials and transports and retailers and so on have been struggling especially hard, you've seen names like, again, utility-type companies that have actually either been setting all-time highs or getting darn close to it. NextEra Energy, ticker symbol NEE, is one example of a company that I like. They're a utility. Their business is boring, if you want to call it that. But what's not boring is that the stock's been outperforming the market and just hit all-time highs. So that's what you want to be focused on, I think, as an investor at this point in the economic cycle, where recession risk is definitely rising quickly.
So you're thinking that some of those stocks, especially utilities, if we do hit a recession, maybe some of those gains that we've been seeing are not going to be given up as much as they might with some other stocks.
Exactly. You have lower volatility. You have businesses that are recession resistant because we're still turning the lights on. We're still buying food and drink and things like that, even in a down economy. And I think you've seen money rotating into those sectors for the last several months, which tells you this isn't just a theory. It's something that the big money investors are actually starting to move money out of those aggressive sectors and into the more defensive ones. And I think you want to play along with that.
Let's talk a moment about a recession. And are we seeing signs yet?
You know, the current economic data has not been poor. It's not recessionary yet. But if you look at what's been happening with the yield curve, you have the flattest or most inverted of a couple measures of the yield curve than you've had since 2007, which was obviously right before we had the housing-related downturn and the recession then. You also have other data like the ISM manufacturing numbers that came out today. They were actually the weakest going all the way back to just before President Trump's election. So we've essentially given up all the post-election gains we've had in sectors like manufacturing, partially as a result of the slowdown in world trade. So These are types of things that, you know, you have to pay attention to as an investor and realize that they're telling you to get more defensive and more cautious. And I think that you have to listen to that message of the markets.
We've heard about the yield curve quite a bit on this show. If for some reason, you know, we don't see a recession or even any sort of a downturn, is there a chance, not trying to be, kind of pie in the sky about this, is there a chance that there will reach a point where the yield curve maybe isn't as definite a predictor as it once was?
You know, there's no guarantee, of course, that the bond market is all-powerful and all-important and is going to get everything right, just like you wouldn't say that about the stock market. But it has been my experience over my many years in this business that the bond market tends to get things right more often than not, especially when that message from the bond market is persistent and, it stays there over a long period of time. And that's really what we've seen. It's not like just this has happened for 1 or 2 days and then things have gone back to normal. The yield curve has been flattening for many, many, many months now and has been inverted for quite some time. Again, the longest stretch we've seen since 2007. So I think that's a pretty important enough signal that investors really should be paying attention to just because of the amount of time it's been persisting for.
Yeah. What about, let's talk tariffs briefly here, U.S., Mexico now. Obviously, that's got to unnerve Wall Street.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've had this fight, this back and forth with China for many, many months now. But then you kind of get this out of left field tariff threat for Mexico added on top of that, which not many people were prepared for. And certainly that only increases the uncertainty. And when you add in the fact that we're very late in an economic expansion, we've had this bull market that stretches all the way back to 2009, I think investors are more inclined at this stage in the cycle to sell first and ask questions later, simply because you have to wonder how much longer can this thing go for.
Mike Larson, always good insight. Thank you for being with us. Mike is a senior analyst at WeissRatings.com. Up next, a closer look at the struggles of some companies in the tech sector. The NASDAQ down nearly 2% today. We'll tell you about that.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Leading technology companies are having a rough go of it lately. Let's discuss why. Gary Kaltbaum is joining us, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, also a Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. His website, GaryK.com. Gary, in general, is there something going on with tech or is it just a few companies?
Well, first off, the market topped out a few weeks ago. You got the tariffs also. But now you have news that the Justice Department is going to investigate Google for their search and the antitrust. Now we're hearing Facebook, the FTC going after on competition. And now we're hearing the DOJ has been granted jurisdiction for an investigation of Apple. So the big three are getting, you know, whacked, and they're taking Amazon down with it. And you have a pretty darn good bearish phase as the institutions say bye-bye to the stocks.
Let's begin with Alphabet, because they're the ones that seem to be getting hammered the most today. What's going on there?
Well, first off, number one, the biggest problem, as I see it, is their earnings and sales have been decelerating. That's number one. But look, they have been in the crosshairs of antitrust for a long, long time. I believe they have about 75% of all search. And, you know, when government gets involved, typically nothing good happens. And the real worry is right now you have the Republican administration doing this. Normally it's the Democratic administration. So I think a lot of people are scratching their head and shooting first and asking questions second.
All right. Facebook also is tumbling a bit today. What's going on there? The same issue.
Yeah, really the same thing. You know, nobody talks much about it, but the last 4 quarters of sales for Facebook have decelerated as well as earnings. And then you get the news today that they're being looked at by the FTC for competition and monopolizing and all that fun stuff. So you're getting the body blows today. And again, when you have a market that's not doing so well as of recent, the selling is accentuated. And, boy, you're getting some pretty good selling today.
Yeah, down 8% on Facebook. At what point are you going to give it some time to turn around?
I don't know. I'm a big believer in let the price and institutional moves talk. And right now they are selling with both hands, and I'd rather wait and hopefully the coast will clear. But I think we're just in a bearish phase right now that may last a while, at least through the summer. I think the economy's probably decelerating here also with the evidence that we're 2.1% 10-year. And I think all that added up together is causing a lot of this.
Let's talk about the antitrust stuff. What do you think is behind it? Why do you think that's been ramped up? Obviously, we've been hearing sort of whispers of it for quite a while. What's going on?
Well, unfortunately, I think there's a little bit of politics behind it about, you know, how these social media companies and the search engines are handling the conservative side, but also the fact that they really are gargantuan and Goliaths. And, you know, when you have people in the Justice Department looking these things over, sometimes they tend to put one foot in front of the other and start making moves. Now, right now, it's just talk of investigations. That's the scary part, the fact that a talk of investigations are really slamming these stocks. What happens if there really is? So, again, I think that the market's on the defensive. These are definitely on the defensive, and I have no interest in really catching the proverbial cliche called the falling knife right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Gary. Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. You can find him online at GaryK.com. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stock Picker Monday, helping us out this afternoon is Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Tim. What's your first pick today?
Chris, we're going to start with Zoetis. It's an animal health care company focused on pharmaceuticals, both for pets and for livestock. This is really an industry leader. They have a very diversified portfolio and a very strong new product cycle. And this is a growing industry. We take great care of our pets in the United States, and that type of theme is being rolled out to the rest of the world, and we expect a massive adoption of animal health in the rest of the world over time. So this is a great long-term growth story.
Zoetis is having a good day. It's up 3% at 104. Where do you expect it to go?
Well, I think a very positive thing here in the near term is the fact that the rest of the industry is under the cloud of the single-payer debate, which will be part of the Democratic platform at the next presidential election. Zoetis is really isolated from all of that. So we see this as just a great long-term story, a great long-term holding.
Okay, that's your first pick. What's your second pick?
Hi, Cisco. Next, we're going to go with NICE Systems. Its symbol is NICE. So this is a very nice company. Its primary business is as a software provider for the customer engagement business. Most of us would think of call-in centers based on that, and that's certainly part of their business. But it's also responding to emails and texts from customers. It's managing that customer engagement that's not face-to-face. And this is by far the industry leader in that business. It's putting all of its operations onto the cloud, making it easily accessible for companies. And, of course, that creates a lot of data that companies can use as well. So its other business is financial crime and compliance software, primarily for banks to make sure that there aren't issues, financial issues at banks. So this is another critical area that they function in.
Thanks so much, Tim Griske, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. He's our Monday stock picker this week. His two picks, Zoetis, ZTS, and NICE Systems, NICE. Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets with Joan Doniger.
Chris, a quick shot of energy for Wall Street from the St. Louis Federal Reserve president. It's really not enough to keep a short positive burst from the Dow and S&P on that side of the flat line, but the Dow now is down only 20 points. The Nasdaq still down 118, the S&P falling 12. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up about 0.33% thanks to Coeur Mining's gains. Wall Street's been weighed down by news of possible antitrust investigations of Facebook and Google to see if they've been illegally trying to stop competition. The burst of energy from that comment from St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank President James Bullard. He says an interest rate cut may soon be warranted to lift inflation. Well, you won't need the iPhone to download apps to the Apple Watch. That's one of the things announced at the Apple Developers Conference this afternoon. It was expected. The next operating system for the watch will let you search and browse right on it, either by touch or voice. It's an app store on the watch itself, so you can install the apps directly. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom. newsroom. Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.